getting cold feet about heating your home this winter, stay tuned. We have a few energy-saving tips for you. Hi, I'm Rob West. With winter setting in, many Americans are bracing for higher gas and electricity costs. We'll offer a few cold weather energy-saving tips for you today. We're off, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, keeping your home warm in the winter is certainly a priority, and there are always ways you can reduce your energy usage and your expenses. Our first suggestion might seem counterintuitive in colder weather, but it has to do with ceiling fans. Most fans have a toggle switch located below the blades, which changes the direction of your fan. In the summer, the fan blade should rotate so the air pushes down. Reverse the direction clockwise during winter months and set fans on a low speed so warm air, which rises, of course, can circulate from the ceiling to the lower levels of the room. With the fans pushing warm air down from the ceiling, you can lower the thermostat a bit, saving power without sacrificing comfort. Now, our next tip is about conserving electricity. You may not realize it, but plugging in electronic devices continues to draw electricity even when they're off. That can amount to as much as 10% of your electricity usage every month. The culprits are devices like smart TVs and DVD players, computers, monitors, gaming systems, and printers. The solution to this costly energy drain is to plug the components of your computer and home entertainment systems into power strips. With the single flip of a switch, you can cut off their use of power whenever you're not using them. Another electricity thief is your charger. Don't leave your device chargers plugged in all the time because they continue to draw electricity even when you're not charging something. There are also a few home maintenance chores that can help cut your energy costs this winter. The first involves air leaks. You don't need to heat the entire neighborhood, so locate and seal any drafty doors and windows, replace any damaged gaskets, and add caulk along the cracks where needed. If your walls feel drafty around light switches and outlet covers on exterior walls, there may be a weak spot in your wall insulation. Consider installing foam gaskets behind these switches and outlets. Check for proper insulation in attics and crawl spaces. The attic is one of the most important thermal barriers in your home. Ask your energy company how much attic insulation they recommend for your area of the country. Another key home maintenance task is to check your heating and air system filters regularly. Clogged filters make your system work harder, wasting energy, so clean or replace them every 2 months. When the heat is on, experts recommend setting the thermostat to 68 degrees. Open the shades or drapes on sun-facing windows during the day to get free solar heat in your home. When the sun goes down, close the shades or drapes for insulation. Heavy drapes work best for this. Now, if you feel chilly in the house, put on another layer of clothes before turning up the thermostat. Don't block your vents with furniture or other obstructions. And check with your power company for more energy-saving suggestions. They might also offer rebates for installing energy-efficient upgrades in your home. That could include a smart thermostat, electric hybrid water heater, duct sealing, or even improved attic insulation. Our final tips are as simple as changing light bulbs. Upgrade to LEDs and lights that are used most often. LEDs are more affordable than ever, last longer, and are more efficient than traditional incandescent bulbs. For outdoor lighting, use photocells, which automatically turn on when it gets dark. Motion sensor lighting is also a great option. A combined motion sensor and photocell unit is the best of both worlds. Now, this might seem obvious, but don't forget to turn off the lights when you leave a room. Make energy conservation a family challenge. Talk to the kids about being good stewards of our resources and help them get in the habit of turning lights and devices off when they're not being used. Set an example with your commitment to taking care of your home, which is one of your many blessings from the Lord. Well, I hope these tips will help you save some money during the cold weather here during this time where we have inflation sky high. I know we're all looking for ways to trim the budget. By the way, the FaithFi app could help you get a plan in place to actually track your budget. You can download it today at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click app. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What does salvation look like? The Lord's people have been answering that question for thousands of years, and the Lord has been providing answers as well. Leviticus 26:6 gives us a vision. I will grant peace to the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove wild beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your land. Peace, security, comfort, that's what salvation looks like. Lying down to sleep without worrying about you or your family's safety. Walking outside in the wild without fearing that a bear or a lion is about to attack. Salvation looks like this. And in Christ, that day is coming soon. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Satan could not be God's opposite because, you see, he was created by God. Isn't it interesting how he has duped us into believing that he is God's equal in the realm of evil?
Don't miss Dr. David Jeremiah's message, The Fallen Angel, on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point, Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Yeah, if we're going to operate from a biblical worldview as it relates to money management, we have to start with the idea that God owns it all. That's a game changer in terms of how we manage money because it puts God in his rightful place where he's always been, and that is the king of everything, the owner of everything. Remember, Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." That means it all belongs to him, which also means that we have a high calling as money managers of God's resources, the King of Kings resources. That's a incredibly high calling. So how do we approach that? Well, we have to understand the heart of the master. That's how any steward manages his or her master's resources. And we do that by going to Scripture, to God's Word, to say, what are the principles, the passages, the big ideas and themes that we should hold God's money loosely, that we should give generously, that we need to live with contentment, that we can't let money become an end, but it's a means to an end, a tool to accomplish God's purposes, and that having more than we need can be a distraction if we allow it to. You remember in the parable of the sower, that which robbed in the story the 30, 60, 100-fold return from the fruit of the word was the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things and the cares of this world. If we get too focused on the here and now, the temporal, we will miss the opportunity to keep our eyes eyes focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and stay focused on the eternal, the life that is to come, and our ability to send God's resources on ahead through our giving. That's the treasure principle. So we've got to guard our hearts, but we also live in the here and now. And so we want to apply God's wisdom to our daily decisions and choices. We want to help you do that on this program. All right, let's begin in Westfield, Indiana, WGNR. Hi, Marie. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
So my question is that my husband's 401k with his former employer was through Vanguard.
Okay.
And when he left that company to a new one, we just took that and just rolled it, like kept it in Vanguard, didn't move it or anything, you know, save on fees, et cetera, et cetera. And it's been a long time, 20 years or so, and it's always performed pretty well and so forth. But I recently learned that Vanguard, BlackRock, State Street, those are the big ones that, you know, hold the most capital, and that they're using that capital to promote the globalist agenda, which I've been trying to educate myself on and have been learning a lot, and it's not good. And I vehemently oppose it, that agenda, the globalist agenda. And so,
sure.
You know, I mentioned to my husband that, you know, I know that essentially when you have 401ks and so forth, it's not really your money. It's like you've loaned it to them, and then that's how you get interest back, so to speak. And so they're using our money for their nefarious purposes, which I'm not interested. We want our money to grow, yes, but not at the expense. I'm not going to sell my soul for it.
Sure.
So I'm wondering if you know of some good investment companies that will still provide a good return on investment, but that's not part of that agenda. And then the second part of my question, when I was researching on my own, I came across a new company that was started in 2022 by, I can't say his name, but he's a Republican presidential candidate, Vic Ramaswamy, Ramaswamy, thank you.
Sure.
He started one with somebody in last year called Strive. And it's only a year old, but he already has $1 billion in assets. And so I didn't know if you know something about it or if that's worth moving. We're definitely getting out of Vanguard. We just don't know where to go.
Yeah, very good. Well, the good news here, Marie, is that you have more opportunity than ever to align your values with your investments. And I think that comes down to really three big ideas when it comes to what we call faith-based investing. Number one is alignment. And that alignment has to do with either negative or positive screens. So a negative screen would be you're excluding companies that are misaligned with your values. So you're screening them out. They're no longer a part of the universe of investments that would be considered as a potential investment for your capital because they've been eliminated because either their primary business activities in violation of your values, you know, think a company that makes, you know, produces alcohol or, you know, any, we can use any number of things. So that would be a negative screen. And then there's positive screens where they actually intentionally include companies in the universe of possible investments because their business activities are promoting human flourishing or maybe even seeking a kingdom impact. I mean, you might invest in a particular solar company that has intentionally said, we will only use supply chain that does not use any kind of slave labor, which is notorious in some parts of the world with regard to solar in terms of the manufacturing process. So that would be a positive screen where you'd screen companies in. And by the way, that adds additional value as they do that. So that would be one aspect. The other is what we call corporate engagement, where you would actually take your ownership position as a percentage owner through the ownership of shares of a company, and you would both vote proxies So you have the ability to weigh in on corporate resolutions and shareholder proposals through the proxy voting process, and even not only ask questions during those shareholder meetings, which is open to anyone, whether or not they'll entertain your questions, another thing, but you should have that option. And then you can also, actually submit, proposals as a shareholder to be considered on the ballot, when it comes to a shareholder meeting. Well, that's all a part of corporate engagement, which, you know, it sounds like would be very much aligned with what you're looking to do as you want to make an impact. You know, as we think about the various impacts we can make in our culture, I mean, yes, we can show up in the ballot box and vote, and that's critical. And we, you know, some will choose to boycott certain companies because of their practices away from their core business when they tend to get too political. But another often overlooked way that you can express your values is through shareholder engagement. And all too often, Christians have been absent from the boardroom in that way. And what's exciting is that's coming back right into the fold. And we're seeing a lot more corporate engagement, which makes a real difference. And we're already seeing that play out. I could give you a lot of examples of where that's happening. So where do you go from here? Well, if your current investments are misaligned because they're not applying, you know, either the screens positively or negatively, and there's not any shareholder engagement going on aligned with your values, then what I would suggest you do is look to replace those investments with faith-based investing fund families. And you could find many of them on our website at faithfi.com. Just click on the show, and you'll see the fund families like Eventide, Guidestone, Lightpoint Portfolios, One Ascent. These are all faith-based investing fund families that will do both the corporate engagement as well as the positive and negative screens. And then you could just choose one of the discount brokerages to house the money, like a Fidelity or a Schwab. So that's what I would do next, is begin to research these companies at faithfi.com, and then just click on the show, and you can start to learn more as you visit their websites. Stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air. We'll be right back.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
Oh, we use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Phone lines aren't open today since this is a recorded program, but we have some great questions we think you will find helpful. Before the break, we were talking to Marie, and Marie is joined by her husband. We were talking about, you know, they're just not comfortable with the investments that they have, the particular fund family. In their case, they're with Vanguard. They feel like they've moved away from their values as investors, as shareholders, and, you know, toward something that's really not reflective of what they want to be invested in, largely in the ESG movement. And as I was sharing before the break, there's a great opportunity now to be more aligned with your values through faith-based investing. It's really less about the custodian. I think you could use a Schwab or a Fidelity, but really more about either a specific advisor who has the ability to bring those types of investments through screening, positive and negative, and corporate engagement to the table, either in selecting individual stocks and bonds or by investing in mutual funds, or by going directly to those fund families, many of which are listed on our website at faithfi.com. But give me your thoughts on that.
So I have a financial advisor now.
Okay.
Who I found through, I've been friends with him for years through a Bible study.
Sure.
He's very competent. So I'd be able to use that financial advisor who's on a platform.
Yeah.
And just use him to go through those funds you mentioned on your website.
You sure could. And I think the question is, I mean, there's many great financial advisors who are committed Christ followers who love the Lord and are providing a great service to their clients that still use traditional investments. And that's okay. I mean, I think it really comes down to what is the conviction of the client. I think this is a conviction matter. Romans 13, let each one be fully convinced. I wouldn't say, you know, by investing in one company over another, it's you're sinning. I mean, that's not my perspective on it. My perspective is each investor, each Christ follower is a part of their stewardship responsibility, has to, before the Lord, come to their own personal convictions, and this is a conscience matter. But if your conviction is that you want to deploy capital through the secondary market, investing in companies that are only aligned with your values in terms of their primary business activities and perhaps what they do with their corporate profits in terms of things that they might promote or support, you have the opportunity to do that today, whereas you didn't maybe 5 years ago in the same way. The question is, does that advisor offer that kind of investment strategy that is specifically faith-based? Many of them, even believing advisors, don't. So you would need to find an advisor that can, you know, select from the faith-based investing fund families, or if he or she is going to do it directly, that they have the ability through, you know, the software that's out there today to make those selections where they're able to screen out certain companies, screen in others, and they have that a part of their investing offering. So I think that's just a conversation you need to have with the advisor. And if he can, great. Then I think you're right where you need to be.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome, and I appreciate your call today. Perhaps you refer him to our website just to look at a few of these fund families. The really exciting thing is, and often folks who don't understand this space will say, yeah, I don't know if we want to do that because we're going to give up the returns in order to invest with our values. Well, if that were true, you may still want to do it, but the good news is the data, the research says you absolutely don't have to do that. I mean, these are world-class, award-winning investments that in many cases are outperforming their peers, and they're employing a kingdom lens, if you will, in terms of the company selections and the even the proxy voting and engagement. So you can invest with your values, and you can get a great return. And I think ultimately that's what a lot of Christians are coming to the conclusion on. But we appreciate your call. Thanks for being on the program today, to both of you. To Minnesota. Hey, Jim, go ahead.
say my wife and I retired 2 years ago. I moved all of my 401k into an IRA, combined it with my traditional IRA. I have a small amount in a Roth IRA. I'm wondering if it's a good idea to slowly convert the traditional IRA to a Roth.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I mean, the Roth really shines when you have a lot of time on your side and for it to grow tax-free on a compounded basis, and where you believe that the taxes in the future will be higher than they are today. Now, oftentimes you drop down in terms of your tax bracket in retirement because you're earning less. You have less adjusted gross income because, you know, pre-retirement, you're in the peak of your earning years paying perhaps the higher tax brackets. You go into retirement. Now you're living on passive income. So, you know, dividends and, Social Security, and then maybe your withdrawals from your IRA. But, you know, perhaps you're living on less because your mortgage is paid off and the kids are off the payroll. And so therefore you're paying less tax. Now, the variable there, the wild card, if you will, is what's going to happen with tax rates in the future. Well, they're going anywhere, they're probably going higher because we know that Trump Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is going to expire in 2025 unless a new administration continues it. We probably aren't going to see rates lower than they are today. They're probably going up, if anything. So, I think that's the consideration, is whether or not you want the current year deduction with new contributions and tax deferred growth, paying taxes later, or in the case of a conversion, are you better off, you know, paying the tax now and then, you know, letting it grow? Now, did you say you're still working or are you fully retired?
Fully retired 2 years
okay.
ago.
Okay. So what would you be looking for out of this? Are you looking for avoiding the required minimum? Are you just looking for the tax-free growth? What's your primary objective and why you'd go ahead and pay the tax now?
I think tax-free growth.
Yeah, because right now the taxes aren't providing a drag on the returns because you're in a tax-deferred environment and you're going to pay taxes at some point. So the question is, are the tax rates going to be higher in the future than they are today? It's probably a good chance that they are. So I like that idea of you perhaps converting some of it. I would just be, the key, I think, Jim, is to work with your CPA on this, because you wouldn't want to do too much in 1 year and push yourself up into a higher bracket without intending to do so. Stay on the line. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985.
Hello, my name is Todd Friel. I am the host of Wretched Radio, heard right here on American Family Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Standard Time. Not to brag, but Wretched Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight is the single best Christian radio program on American Family Radio at that time period. That's right. We hope that you'll join us Saturday night. See for yourself from 10 p.m. till midnight for Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Are you investing in the future of God's kingdom, or wonder how your money can make the most impact for His purposes? Kenneth Boa and Russ Crossan wrote the book Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain, to guide these discussions and build a financial legacy where moth nor rust destroy. Request your copy with your gift of any amount at faithfi.com. Your donation helps us share God's financial principles with others. Leverage your resources for greater impact today.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, reversing the effects of the abortion pill.
Lots of people don't know about abortion pill reversal, so it's very wise for believers in the church to educate themselves about this whole opportunity to help save babies.
And powerful reasons to be thankful.
If this world is all that you have to look forward to, it is bleak. But for us as believers, we have a future that's bright.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. Let's head right back to the phones to James in Kansas. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I got some shares from Home Depot, and I just don't know what to do with them.
Well, in terms of whether to just continue to hold them or whether to sell them, is that just what you're trying to decide here?
Yes, sir. Well, yeah. It'd be best to go talk to a financial advisor, ain't it?
It would. I mean, here's just kind of the general rule I'll give you. I can't weigh in on whether, you know, to buy or sell a particular holding. But what I can say is a couple of rules of thumb. Number one is we want to make sure you're properly diversified. I mean, you're taking, if these holdings, if these shares of Home Depot are more than, let's say, 15% of your total investable assets, then you're adding a pretty significant amount of risk to your portfolio. Generally, the rule of thumb is you wouldn't want to, for a company you either were working for or currently working for, and you know, you're really excited about them. Despite that, you really don't want to ever have more than 15%. And that's really on the very high end, because if you've just got so much riding on one company's performance, their particular sector, an industry, their performance, you know, and there's just not the diversification that we would like for you to have. So I think that's probably the bigger idea is, am I too highly concentrated? And then, yes, to your point, James, what is the overall financial plan and what's the investment strategy that's aligned with your values, your goals, ultimately how much income you need from these investments, what percent of your income you're relying on versus the amount you have invested. All of that will shape, you know, how conservative you are in this investment strategy, and then ultimately who's going to deploy that. Are you going to do that yourself or hire somebody to do it for you? So I guess I would say, number one, if you're more highly concentrated than 15% in one company, absolutely, I would look at diversifying. And then two, I do think you need an overall financial plan from an advisor. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. Most of my stuff is from pensions from the military.
Okay. Very good.
Most of my money.
Yeah, so you've got that obviously guaranteed income that you can rely on. But with your other assets, namely these investments, we want to make sure that you've got a good strategy, you're not taking unnecessary risk, and that it can, you know, grow for you to offset inflation, but where you can protect it at the same time. And part of that is the selection of the investments and how risky they are and what kind of income they generate, but also that you're properly diversified. If you don't have an advisor, James, you can head to our website at faithfi.com, faithfi.com, and just click Find a CKA, and you could search for a few certified Kingdom advisors in Kansas to interview. Thanks for being on the program, sir. May the Lord bless you, and thank you for your service to our country. To Waterford, Michigan. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm calling about a cemetery plot that I purchased back in the early, mid-'80s. I wondered when I want to sell it, and I'm thinking, do I have to pay capital gain taxes? Would that be just under income, like under a regular income tax?
Are you selling it for more than you paid for it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be considered a capital asset. And so it would go on your, you know, on your tax return as a capital gain. I'd talk to your CPA about that. You know, that would be reported on Schedule D as a capital gain, on your 1040.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call, Paul. We appreciate it. Andrea, thank you for calling. How can I help?
Yes, I was just calling to, I'm going into a new chapter in my life. My son is going off to college. He's 18 in November. I'm a single mom, teacher, been teaching for 27 years, and want to retire at some point. But sure. I'm trying to figure out, I've got a new less income coming in November when he turns 18. His grandfather's helped me through the years.
Okay. Yes.
And so he's not going to be paying after November. My son will be moving out. But I'm trying to figure out, I've got about $10,000 in credit card debt. And I know that's not horrible, but I just don't want to continue with the same pattern and continue going higher. So I'm trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
Should I take a credit card offer or put it back in, like get a home equity line? I don't know how to work it. So I just wanted
sure.
to ask you all.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad you did. And I think, you know, it's really important to go into this next season with a plan. And I totally agree. I'd love for you to be out from under that, just so that, you know, lessens the burden on your monthly finances, but also just get out from under that interest, especially now with the average credit card interest rate north of 20%. This is, you know, going to add a lot in the way of interest. My preferred approach on this, Andrea, is what's called debt management. So generally, the rule of thumb is if you have less than $4,000 in total credit card debt, you can probably just do it yourself and what I call snowballing the debt. It's a pretty common term, but essentially it means you line them up from smallest to largest balance, cut back wherever you can to free up as much margin each month as possible. And I realize, you know, that's not easy to do on a limited income, but you try to free up, let's say, a couple hundred dollars a month, whatever you can. You pay the minimums on all of them, and then you start with the smallest balance and go smallest to largest. And the thing that really makes that so effective is when you start with those smaller balances, you can usually knock off one or two of them in a few months or less than a year, which gives you the motivation to keep going. And the best plan is the plan that you'll ultimately complete and get out of debt once and for all. But when you get beyond $4,000, it becomes problematic and costly to do it, especially with these high interest rates. So debt management is the way I would go then. And essentially what happens is there are pre-negotiated lower interest rates through what's called a credit counseling program or debt management. So every creditor has their credit counseling rate, and it's going to be something significantly lower than today. You might be paying 20 now, and in credit counseling, you might get 8 or 9 or 11% interest. So what happens is you pay one monthly payment, probably around 3% of the total balance, so about $300 a month, to the credit counseling agency. And then they distribute it to your creditors. So they don't pay off the debt with a new loan or anything like that. It stays right where it is. But with the combination of this level monthly payment every month and these reduced interest rates, it allows you to get out of debt on average 80% faster. And our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org have worked with hundreds and hundreds of our listeners, Andrea, and we've never had anybody say it wasn't a great experience. I mean, they're believers. They'll help you with your budget, and they'll get you set up on the program, and then you just make that one payment every month. And then once you're out of debt, the key is to keep your lifestyle right where it is and then redirect that money to other priorities aligned with your values. Does that make sense, though?
It does, but I've got it all with one credit card, and
okay.
It's at a pretty good rate. It's okay. Just that I don't make enough to, like, if I'm kind of like a month behind in
yeah.
income.
What is that interest rate?
It's at 11.
Okay, and is that temporary or is that permanent?
It's been permanent. I mean, it's gone up some since, you know, everything's gone up, but... it's
okay.
not near as high as others, so.
Yeah. I would check with them to see if you could get it down. If not, then you could just leave it right there. And then the key is just to try to keep your expenses as low as possible. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break, but you and I will finish up off the air. We'll be right back.
Whether we're praying for our children, our spouses, or even ourselves, it can be hard to know what to pray. But in Scripture, we find clear direction on how to bring our requests before God. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress equips us with practical tools to improve our prayer lives. Join us for the series, Prayers That Really Work, all this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Hey, as we think about applying God's wisdom to our financial decisions, you know, one of the key issues that we have to consider is that season of life in retirement. You know, the world would offer a definition, an idea of retirement that I believe really is not in line with the scriptural perspective on retirement. You know, this idea of retiring at 65 and getting a check and retiring to a life of leisure is fairly modern concept. You know, we really don't see that modeled in scripture except in a very narrow instance around the Levitical priests. God's word really does not support the idea of retirement that we would see today. So as we think about it, here's a few perhaps retirement myths that I think you need to be aware of as you consider how you approach this season of life, recognizing that, well, we all need to be honoring God's call on our life throughout the whole of our life. It doesn't have an expiration, which would mean that we would retire to something and not from something. First of all, it's this idea in terms of a retirement myth that we should never stop being a part of God's workforce. We just change assignments as we age and our circumstances change. However, we have to still plan carefully for that time when our income may be reduced or fixed because we can no longer work. Another myth is that retirement is all about us. As believers, it's never all about us. Life, including how we live after we retire, is all about Christ and our service to Him. A third misunderstanding about retirement is that you have to accumulate as big a nest egg as possible. In fact, what's more important is to decide how much is enough and save for that and no more. Another retirement myth is that retirement planning is only for rich people. In fact, everyone should plan for the future. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Well, wisdom includes prudent planning and saving so that we're out of debt and free to serve the Lord as He calls us in our later years. Another myth is that you'll necessarily be in a lower tax bracket once you retire. While that may be true for some as work income decreases, your retirement investment earnings could keep you in a higher bracket. Plus, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expires in 2025, and experts say that will likely mean tax hikes for everyone in 2026. And then a final retirement myth before we head back to the phones is that you can determine your future. Yes, you can make plans, but be careful not to presume, which means you say, I'll retire at such and such a date with this amount of money. My spouse and I will move here and do this or that. Well, James 4 warns against this. It says, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Instead, we ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. You know, retirement may not be a big topic in the Bible, but we can still plan wisely for our later years. So whether you're getting ready to retire or still working and raising a family, make your plans. Be on your knees before the Lord, asking Him for wisdom as we submit everything that we have for His use and for His glory as well. Hopefully that's an encouragement to you today. All right, let's head back to the phones. We're going to round out the program today with as many calls as we can take to Wooddale, Illinois, WMBI. Hi, Doris. Go ahead.
Hi. My question is this. My husband and I are working on our will and trust and have been told by a reputable source that we should only give to our children and grandchildren because that is biblical, but not to give to Christian charities because we should be doing that during our lifetime. So what is your biblical advice about that?
Yeah, boy, I don't agree with that in the sense that I love the idea of you giving during your lifetime, whether that's to Christian, I mean, certainly to God's plan A, the local church, and then beyond that to ministries that align with what we see in Scripture that's on the heart of God, the ministry of God's Word, preaching, teaching, and discipleship, the ministry of God's mercy, maybe widows and orphans, the ministry of God's justice. So I love that. But I think, when it comes to that last stewardship decision we'll make, we need to be thinking about, is the next steward chosen and prepared? And you are the one that is to choose that steward. And I think you can make the case that there's nothing wrong with giving an inheritance, but it doesn't mean you always should, because I think we always have to be asking the question when it comes to an inheritance is, how much should we leave and to whom? So for instance, ask the question, if we give X amount to X person, what's the worst thing that can happen? And how serious is that? And how likely is that to occur? You could take and drop a large sum of money in an adult child's life where they're, on a path of a lifestyle that's pointed away from the Lord, and it could accelerate that. I mean, it could be the last thing if they're spiritually and financially not mature enough to handle that. Or it could, cause other problems if it denies their opportunity to provide, which, maybe for some would be really important to them. So I think in that case, giving it away to support God's work is really a key opportunity that you have. When we look at Scripture, I mean, whether it's, the passage that's often cited, we should leave an inheritance to our children's children, the context of that passage is really not financial. It's really more of a spiritual inheritance. If you look at that particular verse that's often cited in its larger context in that particular passage of Scripture. So I don't see anything that says we should never give to Christian ministries at death and that we absolutely have to give a financial inheritance. I think that's a decision you need to make before the Lord and consider carefully as to what would be the implications of giving that to a child or an heir. And that may be a wonderful idea, but it may not be. And in that case, you may want to opt to give it all away, or you may want to split it. And at the end of the day, that's your call. Let me do this, Doris. I think the best book to help you think about wealth transfer biblically is the book by Ron Blue called Splitting Heirs. And I'd love to send you that as our gift. Would that be okay? All right, I think we lost Doris, but let's do this. Doris, if you can hear me, stay on the line, and we'll get that, get your information and get that book right out to you. I think we have you back. Is that all right if I send you that book?
Yes, that would be wonderful.
Okay. Thank you for calling, Doris. May the Lord bless you. To Birmingham. Hey, Matt, go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for what you do. Hey, I am 66, almost 66 and a half. I'm looking at retiring in the end of 2024 at 67.5. I have a mortgage that I owe about $161,000 on. And I have all my bases covered, but I have an account that I have about $127,000 in that I am planning to use to pay off the house at the end of 2024. Now, my question is, I got in a debate with some people. My house mortgage is at 3.5% interest rate, and the $127,000 is drawn almost 5%, well, 4.30.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to each month make sure I get $1,500 of principal towards the house and $1,500 going into the savings account.
Yeah.
Is that the way I should do it, or should I just put a whole bunch on the house or put it all in savings?
Yeah. You know, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here, and I don't think this is purely a math equation either. You know, because there's more to you paying off your house than just whether or not you can make more money elsewhere. There's the peace of mind. There's the ability to be completely unencumbered, which gives you more flexibility to follow the leading of the Lord. There's, you know, less need then for income, which might free you up to do some things you might not otherwise do. You may have a conviction from the Lord to be debt free. And if so, I wouldn't look back. I would follow that conviction. Now, if you're saying, no, I feel like, you know, I don't feel like the Lord is telling me to get out of debt. I just want to do the thing that makes the most sense on paper. And I want to kind of push these non-financial considerations aside. Well, then certainly you could make the case that, you know, you're making a little bit more outside of that in essentially a risk-free investment. I mean, you will have to factor in the taxes on that interest, and it may end up being a wash or close to it. And then in that case, I would probably just go ahead and pay off the house and be done with it. But keep in mind, these interest rates where they are aren't going to last forever on CDs and high yield savings, because as the economy slows and stalls, eventually the Fed's going to have to lower rates, and then they won't be available any longer. So at that point, you probably certainly would. Now, some will say, well, you should go invest this money in the stock market, and over, you know, a 5 or 10 year period, you should by far outperform that interest on the home. And I would say, yeah, in a typical decade, you should, if you, you know, choose high quality investments and you have the right strategy. But A, you're adding risk to the equation, and B, you know, you're potentially missing the non-financial piece of this equation, which are the items I mentioned a moment ago. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Oh, I like the way you think. I didn't think about the tax ramifications on the interest. I am debt free, my wife and I, other than the house. So,
yeah,
I feel very, very strong and adamant about not retiring until the house is paid off. Okay. On zero debt.
Well, so, then I think you've got your answer, despite what your friends and your brother-in-law and everybody else say. I'm joking there. It may not be your brother-in-law, but despite what anybody else says, I think you've got your answer there, Matt. And here's what I can tell you. In all the time, years I've been doing this and the thousands of calls that I've taken, I've never had anybody that called me and said, I paid off my house last year and I've regretted it ever since. Never once. So you go do that. Focus on paying off that house and then go find God's calling for the next chapter of your life, all right?
Amen. Thank you.
All right. God bless you. That's going to do it for us today, folks. On behalf of my team, Robert Sutherland, Devin Patrick, and Robert Youngblood, I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Enjoy the rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll look for you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.